Mary had a little lamb. I can't say that. Sorry, not politically correct. Also, probably not true. It's probably dirty and messy and things like that. But, you know, every time... Have you ever met a sheep? Never met a sheep you didn't like? Me either, especially barbecued. But sheep are stupid. They are really, really dumb animals. Had one once that secretaries used to feed him sugar packets, you know, little white sugar packets with coffee. So his name was Tony, number 147. And Tony got to be at a point where he would eat anything that was white. You walk into the sheep runs, and if you had a package of cigarettes in your pocket that was white, he'd pull cigarettes out and eat them. He pulled the guy's paycheck out of his pocket when they ate it. I mean, they were, because they thought it was sugar. If you ever see pictures of nomads out in the desert with a flock of sheep, every flock of sheep has at least one goat. Sheep and goats, they look very similar, right? Even if you look at an anatomical chart of a sheep and a goat, they're almost identical. So goats are a lot smarter than sheep. And goats will actually follow the shepherd, because the sheep won't. I know Jesus says they do, but they really don't. But the goat will, and the sheep will follow the goat. They're dumb. So in a way, every time we are compared to sheep, we're being insulted. But when it comes to God, we are dumb. But we're smarter than, as Yogi Bear would say, smarter than the average bear. We are smarter than the average sheep, because we can see Jesus, we hear his voice, and we follow. Like Mary's little lamb who followed her to school. Now you followed Jesus here today. And today is one of those days that many, many, many pastors hate. Not because it's Sunday, but it's Mother's Day. They hate it because, well, some people say, well, it doesn't belong in church. It's a secular observance that kind of made its way into the church and became sacred. In a way, that's true. I mean, there's nothing biblical about Mother's Day, except it says honor your father and your mother every day, not just one day a year. If you only honor your mother or your father one day a year, what good are you? Really? And then people hate it because, well, what if a woman is there in church and doesn't have any children? You're going to make her feel bad. We got to do Mother's Day. Because if you skip Mother's Day, what happens to the pastor? He gets castigated. Because you forgot Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to everybody. Now that's not quite as true as it was in days gone by, because those who vociferously object to Mother's Day because of its secularity, most of them aren't mothers. And they have this warped thing and they feel slighted, might even be offended by happy Mother's Day. How do you spell Mother's Day? Is it M-O-T-H-E-R-S apostrophe or apostrophe S? I mean, yeah, I would say Google. I like that, Bubbles. I mean, if I say to Gene, Happy Mother's Day to Gene, it's mother apostrophe S, I'm sure. If I say Happy Mother's Day to everybody, I'm sure that it's S apostrophe. Because it would be mother's plural. But I don't know. It's stupid. But people get offended by Mother's Day because they aren't mothers. Well, we all had mothers, didn't we? I think we did. I mean, even if you had you were abandoned when you were half an hour old as an infant, you still had a mother. You came from somewhere. So you need to honor them. We need to celebrate them, even if they're not the greatest mom in the world. We all had the gift of a mother. And whether she was a good mother or not, maybe she was a real mother, the way they mean it today. Not good. But she was a gift that God gave to you because it was through her that you had life. So, nothing wrong, as far as I'm concerned, with Mother's Day. And that necessitates, as I said, includes dads. Because without fathers, you don't got mothers, and vice versa. Now, by talking about Mother's Day, it is pandering a bit to masses, but I don't think you folks are going to crucify me for talking about Mother's Day, or not talking about Mother's Day. Especially when the scriptures that we're reading today, and their lectionary passages, I didn't pick them, have nothing about motherhood in them. When I preach a Mother's Day sermon, I like using the passage where it talks about God being like a mother hen that shelters her chicks under her wings. It's one of the few instances where you have Mother's Day imagery about God. But if you go to Mother's Day, or did I say Happy Mother's Day? If not, Happy Mother's Day. But segue back to the scripture, especially Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is probably the one piece of scripture that almost everybody knows. Whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a nothing, you probably know it, or at least know of it, or heard it, or read part of it somewhere or other, because it is probably the most common piece of scripture you see out there. Good morning. Welcome. Well, it's your daughter, but she's still welcome. We will pause while we have seating. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I just got done saying that, so I had to say it again. Got new mothers in here. And Dad, Happy Mother's Day. Good morning. Welcome. So Psalm 23 is also the most requested piece of scripture that I get asked to read when I get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning and somebody's died. Or if I go to a hospital room and someone's in the bedside. Or if someone gets hurt. Homes that are filled with the sorrow of death. Psalm 23 is like comfort food. You know, when what makes you feel good when you're got a cold, eating a bowl of tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich? Comfort food. And Psalm 23 is kind of like comfort food. Even on non-believers, and in all kinds of trouble, all kinds of pain, we get pulled to this psalm. Just like the needle of a compass points always to the north, it seems that the North Pole drags that needle, the psalm drags up. It's so deeply ingrained in our minds and actually our culture. If you notice that this morning that the 23rd Psalm came out of the King James Version. I can't do this passage from any other translation. No matter how good of a translation, even if I do it myself, I have to do that. It's part of my DNA. More likely, it's part of y'all's DNA that you know the 23rd Psalm in the King James. And it just doesn't sound right if it comes out of another translation. If it's a complete paraphrase, that's different. But if you're reading from the NIV or the ESV or something else, it's just a little bit off. But why is this psalm so important? Why is it still alive thousands of years later from when it was written? Written probably by David, King David. When he did, he was still unknown, not really remarkable. And he speaks to us today out of a time and place very foreign. So foreign as to be incomprehensible. Can you put yourself in that shepherd's place? I know sheep pretty well, so I can deal with the sheep part of it. But sitting on a hill out in the campfire watching a bunch of them, I don't think so. Why should we, citizens of a technological age, be interested in what a bearded, low-life shepherd was thinking about on the plains of Palestine thousands of years ago? Thinking about sheep and thinking about God. What could that possibly have to do with us today? Why does this psalm still live? The 23rd psalm still lives specifically. All of Scripture lives for the same reason, but specifically because it offers answers to a basic question. Queries in the minds of people of every age and over centuries, people ask the same questions. And sometimes they ask their mothers the questions. And mom would sometimes say, "Because I said so." I could love that one. Sometimes they would have a real answer. Sometimes they ask themselves these deep questions. And sometimes God answers their questions. In our modern era where we are advanced, we send space probes out. Now they're heading to the stars. You know, they're outside of our solar system. We'll go to the depths of the trenches in the ocean, climbing the highest mountains. We know this world pretty well, and yet so many people are still strangers to God. The God who made human beings, who made Earth and all that's in it. And we still have questions. Questions to which we need answers. The same questions people have been asking for centuries. And we need the assurance that only God can give us, and hear the psalmist's answers. He's simple. Okay? He's not simplistic. But he's sitting out there. He's simple. He's got a simple job. Watch the sheep and protect them. Not too tough. And he calls some conclusions from what he's doing. He knows he's got his sheep. He knows he's responsible for that. And he has a deep love for his sheep. I mean, they're his livelihood. He has to protect them. And the way the ancient people used to look at their animals, they were kind of like, we look at our puppies and our kitties. You know, they're part of the family. And from thinking about this, he gets what I call a profound thunk. He thunk of something. His concern for the sheep, the business of what he is, they are his only business. And he can feel proud of that, that he is a good shepherd. And he puts this in place of the world and realizes that if he's a good shepherd to the sheep, then somebody must be out there watching over him. Someone who is much greater. You know the expression, a good shepherd? That's what Jesus called himself. And he was specific in reminding his followers that the good shepherd calls each sheep by name. They're all part of the same sheepfold. You know what a sheepfold is? It's a weird word. Back in the day, it was basically just a wall of bricks or rocks. In Palestine, the ground grows rocks like it does in New England. And every spring, the people go out and clear their fields and pick up rocks, and they make fences and walls out of them. And the sheepfolds were basically semicircles up against a hill with an opening with a gate in it. That was it. That's a sheepfold, like a corral. And Jesus said, we all belong in the same sheepfold. We all go through the same gate, and the gate is him. And the shepherd cares for those sheep as a whole and individually, even as a mother cares for her children. And the significance of even one lamb is never lost to that shepherd. If you're a mother with one kid, you're a father with one kid, your attention is paid on that one kid. You have 12 children, you still know where they are. You still pay attention to each one of them. You don't just pick out one. Not if you're a good parent, anyway. Remember the story when the shepherd left the flock to go find the one that was lost? There was safety in numbers. He could leave those behind to find the one. We aren't lost as people geographically. We know where we are. But without the good shepherd, we're lost eternally. So the question still arises, does God care about me as an individual? The shepherd's thinking, if I belong to God's flock, I'm in no danger, no place I can go, because I'll never be alone. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Listen to those words like you never heard them before. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. You're familiar and they lose significance. The newer translations say, "When I walk through a dark or when I walk into a dark valley," not quite the same. Don't let familiarity steal them away, because when he realizes what's going on in his mind, God's revelation to him, and he writes down, "When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." He doesn't say, "When I walk into the valley of the shadow of death." He says, "I walk through it." Not just some dark valley, but the worst imaginable. And he walks through it. Why? How? How is a shepherd able to walk through a dangerous place? Because God is with him. God is with us. Death is not a dead-end street. That's a pun, and it was intended. Because death is not a dead-end street. It's a door. And you walk through it. Don't be afraid. Again, the most common command in Scripture, don't fear, don't be afraid. Just as a mother comforts her children when they're afraid. You ever have a kid that was afraid of the dark? Or maybe another adult that was afraid of the dark? Don't be afraid of the dark. Being afraid of the dark is kind of silly. You know, being wary of something that might be in the dark, okay. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the dark. And God does the same thing. So the dude sitting there by his campfire, this is the shepherd, he's thinking, if my sheep trust me like this, and I'm nobody, then how come I can go by myself? I can't. I can trust God. Today, we know God through Christ as the Good Shepherd. The shepherd knew God directly from talking with him. So the question we all have to ask is, God our shepherd? Does he walk with us into a valley, through it, and out again the other side? If so, no worries. Debating, I will not tell a joke. Don't tell a joke. Two things. Later. But the Good Shepherd is with you always. All you need to do is ask. And there's nothing about which to fear. Nothing. And again, Mother's Day. Mothers are always worried. Fathers are always worried about their kids. Is that true? No, it's wrong. It shouldn't be. You should be concerned about your children. You shouldn't worry about them. Is there something you can do? Do it. Good mothers don't sit around and worry about their children. Good mothers either know they can do something and they do it, or they realize there's nothing they can do and they don't worry about it. We have to learn not to worry about anything. I learned that lesson a long time ago. I don't worry about anything. Drives her nuts. But mothers worry about everything when it comes to their kids. I understand that, because you love your children. God loves us. And that's why you look at Mother's Day in church. Because aside from all the politically correct stuff out there, making God into a woman. Did you ever see the movie The Shack? Or read the book The Shack? It's very entertaining. Theologically, it's all over the place. But in there, God is portrayed as an old black woman. Okay? Trying to make people feel good and connect. Does God have female type attributes? Yeah. Is God a woman? No. Is God a man? No. God is God. But, like a mother, God loves us. And mothers need to love their children and other people the same way. So do fathers. Maybe more so. But don't worry about anything. Don't fear anything. Because all our needs will be met by the Good Shepherd. walking you through the darkest valley, including the valley of the shadow of death, not Mary's little lamb, the Lamb of God. Amen.